Welcome to the Berwyn United Methodist Church audio podcast, where we bring you a condensed version of our weekly worship, a time for spiritual reflection and renewal, no matter where you are. In today's episode, we delve into a profound message of hope and transformation as we explore the resurrection story. This narrative of impossibilities becoming possible is a cornerstone of our faith, reminding us that with God, no stone is too heavy to roll away. No graveyard is beyond life. Together, we'll explore the poignant moments from the gospel, hear an inspiring sermon, and seek God's presence through prayer. So take a moment to center yourself as we open our hearts to the living word and the promise of resurrection.
Would you pray with me? Loving God, on this Resurrection Sunday, we give you thanks for your abundant grace. We give you thanks that through your life, death has been defeated, that sin has been conquered, and that a way of moving forward as your people has been made so that we might experience an abundant life here in this life and everlasting life in the next. May we be made aware of your Spirit with us this morning, so that whether through me or in spite of me, we all may be touched by what you would have us hear, and in hearing be transformed. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our first reading is from Psalm 118, verses 17, and then 21 through 24. And it can be found in your pew Bible on page 565. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our resurrection reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, it's verses 1 through 12. You can find that in your pew Bibles to read along on page 90 of the New Testament. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood before them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day raised again?" Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The resurrection story is one of impossibilities, but it is also one that makes impossible things happen. If there's any other proof than that, then we need, "I got up before dawn this morning," which is something that I do not usually do. I joked this morning that I wish the women had gone to the tomb in a more respectable hour, perhaps around noon, maybe 3 p.m. would have been better. They had taken jars of spices that they had prepared because they were going to anoint his body. Jesus had been crucified just before the Sabbath, and they had to place him into the tomb before the Sabbath started. And so they did not get to do all of the things that are usually done to anoint a body for burial, to pay their respects. And so they were going on this day, now that the Sabbath was over, they were going before sunrise to do just that. To grieve. To remember. To spend time in the presence of the one who was their friend, their teacher, their hope. And salvation. They had been told so many times of what would happen. They had been told so many times that Jesus was going to Jerusalem to die, but that he would rise again. But they didn't understand when he had said these things. They didn't get it. And so they didn't go to the tomb with expectations. They didn't go to the tomb with hope. They went to the tomb to mourn. Now, we are told in the scripture that the door of this tomb was covered with a large stone, and there were guards placed in front of it to make sure that nobody would come in and steal the body. You had the disciples afraid that somebody would come and steal the body and mutilate it and do damage to it. You had people who were not the disciples, Jews and the Romans, who were afraid that somebody would go into the tomb and steal the body and claim that he wasn't dead, that he was still alive. And so there was a whole host of reasons to put that stone in front of the tomb. This stone was large and too heavy for any one person to lift. And though Luke doesn't mention it, I can imagine the women going to the tomb wondering, how are we going to get to the body to place these spices on it? How are we going to get close to the body if that stone is in the way? But when they got to the tomb, the stone had been rolled away. The impossible thing happened. It was a real and immovable object that the resurrection of Christ simply moved out of the way. How many things in our lives look like the impossible and movable object that simply cannot be moved, and we wonder how in the world it will ever change? Grief, fear, failure, political systems, laws, war. How often do we come to these tombs, to these heavy stones, with spices in hand, but we don't expect the impossible? These women who had gone to the tomb had seen the tomb, the stone had been rolled away. God was already at work. God was already doing the impossible. God was already doing the very thing that God said he was going to do. God moves before us. God moves ahead of us. God is at work in our lives, in our world, even when we cannot see it. In the dawning hours, in the hours of darkness, in the hours of despair when all seems lost, that seems to be when God does God's biggest work. In those moments when the tomb held Jesus' body, when all seemed lost, when the stone seemed impossible to move, that is when the resurrection moment happened. That was when God began something new. A transformation of the world beginning in that moment. And God was able to roll away the stone to make sure that that resurrection moment wasn't bottled up and kept inside. This should give us hope. We'd probably get to the big stone and wonder how we can find a lever, how we can push it out of the way, forgetting that God is already there. Whatever our problems are, whatever our needs are, whatever we think is insurmountable in the world that causes us to grieve and lose hope, God's light is already shining, making the impossible possible. And while the women are looking in the tomb, The angels that have appeared ask them a very powerful question, one in which we must also answer because it is both a rebuke and an invitation. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. This is more than just a statement that Jesus is alive. This is a transformation of the tomb itself. This is a transformation of what is a graveyard from dead to life. And we need to stop looking in the graveyard for life. All of the things that would work against God, all of the things that would keep God at bay, all of the things that do not and cannot give life, those things that give a false sense of security, a false sense of hope, a false sense of community, a false sense of expectation. These things cannot give us life. They cannot sustain us. They cannot resurrect dead bones. And so we have to stop looking to them. Pain, revenge, addiction, these are all things that seem to promise life, seem to give a little bit of hope, seem to keep us moving during the day. But they will always fail. They are the graveyards. They are the dead. And we have to stop looking for life among it. We need to stop returning to old places, old habits, old griefs, old sins, expecting new things, expecting new life. Jesus has moved forward. Jesus is ahead of the disciples. Jesus is ahead of us, calling us forward, moving us into the world. Easter was not a return to what was. Jesus didn't just walk among the disciples and teach some more. An entire new reality set in. One in which the tomb was empty, but the throne of God is filled. It is the start of something new. But do we have ears to hear it? Can we believe? At first, the disciples were not. They had heard the words and the testimony of the women that had gone to the tomb, and they seemed to them an idle tale, something to be brushed off, and they did not believe them. This certainly does describe a world today where we have the hope of life, we have the hope of resurrection, we have Christ to share, a way of living in a world that is radically different than the way the world wants us to live. And when we share that news, sometimes people hear it as an idle tale, not worth believing. But there are others. There are others whom their stone has been moved. Their disbelief and cynicism and resistance to hope melt away. And they, like Peter, go to the tomb, find that it is empty, not fully understanding what it means, but having hope. Will we run towards the possibility of resurrection? Will we help others experience it for themselves? Will we trust that God is rolling away the stones not only in our life, but the lives of those around us, and preparing a way for this message to be heard? We all have those stones in our life where we don't have the power on our own to take care of them. And rather than shrink away in despair or grief because we feel like we're stuck with them, perhaps God is already at work rolling them away. What we cannot do, God has already done. The stone has been rolled away. The tomb is empty. Hope lives. So what stones are you carrying? Where have you assumed that death and hate and violence has already had the final word? And can you trust the risen Christ to do what you cannot? My hope and prayer is that the answer is yes. And you'll spend time pondering this story, pondering this day anew. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you have knit us together as your body, that you have called us together in worship of you, especially on this day of Resurrection Sunday, Easter celebrations. We give you thanks that the tomb is empty, that the stone was rolled away, that we have hope in a world that seems hopeless at times, and that the darkness that tried to extinguish your light has been dispelled. Oh God, we see too much darkness in our world today. We see too many people suffering. We see the hungry, the sick, the scared. We see those who are removed from their homes. We see people living under the threat of violence. And it all seems too much. The darkness seems too great. And we need to see your light. Help us by your Spirit to see where your kingdom is taking root. Help us to see where the cracks in the foundation of the powers of this world are showing and growing, where a new kingdom is breaking forth, brought forth by your resurrection, brought forth by your continued work in our world, redeeming and renewing us all, helping us to conquer sin, helping us to move forward into new life as your people. And though we may shrink away, though we may run scared, though we may wonder what we can do, your Spirit growing within us enables us to do more than we can imagine. And you're already doing it and already rolling away stones. When we can't see your work, help us to have faith in you, to trust that you are there, that you are not some distant God setting things in motion and watching from afar, but intimately involved in the redeeming work of the world so that one day all knees will bow and all will know who you are and how much you love them, not erasing differences, but celebrating them. But until that day, help us to live as your people. Help us to grow as your disciples, dedicating ourselves to your work, to your redemption story, to the transformation that you have in mind for our own lives, our friends, our neighbors, our families, our co-workers, our community, our nation, and our world. Where there is suffering, bring relief. Where there is grieving, bring comfort. Where there is pain, bring healing. Where there is fear, bring peace. And where there is sin, bring forgiveness and transformation. We pray for all people everywhere who face the threat of violence, face hate, division, because of who they are, where they were born, the color of their skin, their gender, or who they love. Let us see a new day dawning. Let us be a part of that new day dawning. And when our words fail and we are unsure of what to pray or what to do, let us turn to you in your word, where we see the prayer that you taught your disciples so long ago. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of the Berwyn United Methodist Church audio podcast. We hope the message of the empty tomb and the promise of new beginnings resonates within you, empowering you to trust that God is already at work in your life, rolling away the stones that seem immovable. Remember, even when the world feels daunting, hope endures. Before we part, let us carry this truth into our lives, that God's light continues to shine, making the impossible possible. If today's sermon has touched you, or if you have thoughts to share, we invite you to reach out to our community. You can learn about who we are as a faith community and how you can get involved at berwynmc.org. Until next time, keep seeking, keep believing, and may God's peace be with you always. Amen.